You're listening to Dynamo's Dozen. Now let's welcome your host, Dean Dynamo Kelly.
Welcome to Dynamo's Dozen, the podcast that I bring you each and every single week, where I talk about whatever may be on my mind, from pro wrestling, sports, entertainment, music, movies, muesli, fresh socks and jocks, and everything in between, never forgetting the talc. Welcome to episode 101, and thank you everybody for the success of episode 100. Thank you for all the positive feedback. I've had some great feedback, not just from that show, but from people that have went back through the library and back catalogue and got back to me with some of their favourite episodes and what they would like to see going forward. And also based on the fact that on Facebook Live, we made an announcement that within the next 4 to 6 weeks, we will have a Dynamo Dozen Network, a one-stop shop, where you can find all of your favorite podcasts that are done from myself and my colleagues, anything from the Four Podmen to Dynamo's Half Dozen to the mighty Carl King Woe's Court. Lots and lots of stuff that will be on the way on top of that as well. So Dynamo's Dozen Network will be launching very, very soon. There will be more details on all social media mediums. So, and I'll also inform you here as well, if you're not a social mediaite. But without further ado, I'm going to get into a show today that I've done a couple of weeks ago with a guy called Andrew Sanford, a comedian and writer, very, 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 very entertaining man, has a podcast himself. And this was a show that we did, and I've been looking forward to getting this one out to you because Andrew is an absolute gentleman of a guy. And a wealth of knowledge when it comes to all this stuff. And also, very, very funny and entertaining guy. So, without further ado, let's get in to my episode of my talk with Andrew Sanford. So, welcome back to Dynamo's Dozen. I'm here today with a very, very entertaining guest, Mr. Andrew Sanford, who is runs his own podcast called Half White Son of a Black Man, which I think is just a great name.
Thank you.
Andrew is a writer, a performer, was a weekly stand-up show host on ABC as well, co-published a comic book, a podcaster, and all-round funny, entertaining, cool kind of guy, and something very different for Dynamo's Dozen, which is cool. So Andrew, my friend, welcome to the show.
Hello, Ian. Thank you for having me, man. That is the most flattering intro that I have ever received, so thank you.
I think you're just flattering me now, to be fair.
No, listen, that's what podcasting is all about. It's about getting on other people's podcasts and talking about how awesome their podcast is.
This is what
that's
it is?
Really all it is. Mm-hmm.
It's networking, dude. It's networking. So, actually, this is kind of cool because I heard you last week, obviously, on just by happenstance, purely by chance, on Somewhere in the Skies podcast, because I try to scare myself going to sleep now by listening to like UFO and horror podcasts, you know.
Sure.
So I'm literally scouring Spotify for, you know, the best kind of podcasts that, you know, based on ufology and horror and stuff. And Somewhere in the Skies, obviously hosted with Ryan Sprague. I was very happy to run into that one. Our Strange Skies. Yeah, great show. Our Strange Skies, another great show as well. So they're all really good stuff. And you guys all have a tight little group and networking going on. And you're based in New York. So thank you for letting an Irishman in during quarantine. It's...
Honestly, like, and I told you this over Facebook Messenger too, but I was flattered to be asked, legitimately. And then I checked out your podcast. You're a lot of fun. We have, as you pointed out, a lot of the same interests. I think I started because I don't know how the internet works, on iTunes, and I ended up listening to it, and it was like, oh, you're talking about the Royal Rumble. And I was like, oh, sweet, I'll click that. It says Royal Rumble, but it was last year's Royal Rumble.
Oh, okay.
Last year.
Yeah.
And I still was, I was like, hey, whatever, this lines up. I'm like, so, yeah, man, I was flattered to be asked. I'm happy to hang out here and talk with you. I love Ryan. I love that podcast, and I love that he'll usually bring me on as a bit of a skeptic.
Sure.
So it will, and otherwise we'll just hang out and talk about movies. I love talking about movies too, so it's always fun to talk to that guy, and a great writer in his own right as well. He's a good egg.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, that's that's a great thing about podcasting, because you know yourself, the creative wheels are always spinning in your head, no matter what you're listening to. I mean, you know, this is a show that a lot of people is primarily based on pro wrestling, but I mean, I'm, you know, Dynamo's Dozen is a pop culture podcast as well. So this is kind of cool today to break it away a little bit from the norm and get to speak about some, you know, comics, horror. I know you're a big pro wrestling fan as well. I only found that out.
I am.
I can see some sort of title in the background there. Is that the Undisputed title?
It is.
See how I spotted that? Yeah, you see that? I'm outside your door.
I knew it. The floor was creaking. I could have swore somebody was out there. No, and I've had that. Like, it's even starting to, like, some of the leather is starting to fray and stuff, because I've had that since I was, like, 11 or 12 years old.
Awesome.
And it's got my name played in there, which was my wrestling name even at the time, which was Heavy A, which really explains a lot of the body image issues that I have.
Okay, you gave yourself a complex at a young age.
Exactly. But hey, if you're going to give yourself a complex, you might as well get it started early.
That's it.
You don't want to do that late.
You know, get ready for the snowflakes, you know what I mean? Get ready for the snowflakes. So listen, I suppose let's dive, before we get into, you know, shooting the shit, let's kind of dive into a little bit of a background about yourself. Why don't you kind of introduce some of the stuff that you do to some of our Irish listeners? I mean, fundamentally, this is probably, my audience is bigger in the States than in Ireland anyway, so it's, a lot of people will be familiar with you already, but just for, you know, for sakes of everybody else in the world, just give us a bit of a background. Yeah,
I'm a writer and performer, like you'd said. I do, I've been writing professionally for a while now. It started with a horror comic that I wrote and co-produced with a good friend, and co-created with a good friend of mine, Joe Cabatit, who also did the logo for my show, just one of my all-time best friends, and just wonderfully talented and creative individual. And it went from there to, I got, that same year, I was a featured writer in something called the ABC Discovers Showcase.
Okay.
Where they kind of take new actors and put them in scenes by new writers. So I got to do that in 2014 and 2016. And since then, it's parlayed into a lot of screenwriting and things like that. I write for a theater company called Random Access Theater. We're actually doing, they do these things called the drunk texts, where they do, they take a classical text or a current text made classical, and they do a staged reading of it while the actors play drinking games and with the audience. They encourage the audience to drink around, along as well. And I've written a Shakespearean Ghostbusters for them, a Shakespearean Halloween, and on May 4th, they'll actually be doing a Shakespearean New Hope that I wrote. So it's always fun working with them and performing with them. And I did a stand-up for a while, not as much anymore, because when I moved into writing, I stopped doing stand-up because I realized at a certain point that I didn't, like, love it enough. Like, some of the comedians that I was coming up with at the time, I would, like, host a weekly show, like you said, and I would, like, host that show and then be like, all right, so now, like, we go smoke a joint and drink or something like that, right? We just hang out. And these people are like, well, no, we got to go to Queens and do another mic, and then there's another mic in Brooklyn after that. And I was like, oh, so that's, like, I wasn't into it to that degree. So I was just like, let me try something else. And that's kind of where my podcast came in. okay. To kind of keep the performative aspect going. And I've been doing that for, it'll be 6 years in December. We're on a smidge of a hiatus right now, but it's a pop culture podcast where we play some improv games talking about the news of the week, which none of it is good right now. So it hasn't been
yeah.
the easiest thing to hop into.
Yeah, like there's not really a whole lot of positive news per se. No.
Like we even play some game, like we play a game called Spin It, where we take a negative story and I make people spin it in the positive on the spot.
Yeah.
But it would just be spinning the coronavirus every single week, which is, you know, that well runs dry pretty quick.
Yeah, the COVID thing has kind of flipped all the shit up in the air worldwide. Bro. So it's kind of one of those things where, you know, you can make some jokes of it, but, you know, it's going to be in bad taste to somebody. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's something, too, where I refuse to not take it seriously.
Exactly.
Not to, like, go down too far down that road, but it is something where it's just like, you know, a lot of people are dealing with this and suffering with it in ways that some of which I wouldn't even be able to comprehend. You know
sure,
what I mean? Because I'm, sure. like, there are a lot of things that I'm lucky enough to not have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people that aren't so lucky and some people that are too lucky.
And that's it, yeah. Like, and I guess that's kind of like why podcasting and, you know, YouTube videos from famous, you know, celebrities and stuff that they're doing now, and Ricky Gervais is coming up with daily stuff, which is just hilarious. And
yeah, man.
These guys, you know, and you know, for us to even be able to just do a podcast for 30 minutes to an hour for people just to take their mind away from something, I think is what it's what it's all about, even if it only entertains 3 people, you know?
Exactly. Hey, listen, really... those 3 people are going to be entertained.
Exactly.
That's all that matters.
So I was really interested. It's funny because when we got talking, we realized we have a lot of similar interests. Because what actually got me onto that particular episode of Somewhere in the Skies was about that movie, Dark Skies. Because it's funny enough, myself and my partner had only been talking about that, I think, a couple of days beforehand, saying they've actually never really done an amazing kind of UFO movie. It's like they've almost, they've nearly done it. And then, you know, I think Dark Skies is probably one of the better ones. I know The Fourth Kind was a bit strange as well. A lot of them are kind of found footage. But you would think, you would think that, you know, somebody would have really kind of broken the mold. And because usually they get a little bit sci-fi crazy, do you know what I mean? But
absolutely,
you know, but I mean a really realistic kind of something involving the grays or something like that, somebody's got to be out there and it's got to do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, right. No, I think what it comes down to, and Ryan and I, if you get a chance, we did another episode. He invited me back because he's not sick of me yet, and we talked about the movie Communion, which was based on a novelist's actual experiences, quote-unquote actual experiences. And one of the things that I came to find out in talking to Ryan is that the movie had trouble getting made because the studio kept forcing them to, the studios were just like, hey, either this needs to be more vague so it makes this guy look crazy, or you need to make it Independence Day. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like studios, because ufology is so nuanced, I think they feel like it does, that nuance doesn't make for good movies for whatever reason. That being said, we've talked, Ryan and I have talked about this a little bit out in the open, but not too much, but I'll just share it here. The next one we'll probably be talking about is Arrival, which I very much enjoyed. It is a little bit more, it's still very like grandiose.
Yeah.
That one I thought was one of the first UFO movies where I was just like, whoa, maybe this, you know, maybe it's something like this. It, they went with such realism despite it being, you know, giant ovals in the sky.
Yeah, like it's funny because the week before that, there's a great podcast from a gentleman, John Hagedorn, 1,000 Mysteries, Histories, and... he's got a really, really kind of great kind of thing going there where he will, you know, he'll pick a period in time in history and he won't kind of kayfabe it or mask it up or anything. He'll actually, you know, really delve deep into the facts of it. And he had a great one on Steven Spielberg and Close Encounters. And I only learned from listening to that show that apparently Spielberg has obviously been obsessed with UFOs since he was a kid, because he said he saw one, and I think that's what his first ever feature film was based on.
And I didn't know that.
No, me neither. But apparently this is true, that apparently government officials, if you want to believe this narrative, actually got him to make Close Encounters, and that was meant to be based on actual events.
What?
Yeah, psych. That's mind fuck, right? Check it out. It could be batshit crazy, but I mean, John Hagedorn, right, the way he described it, he was obviously just going through the facts of what he was told and stuff like that. But my goodness, it was it blew it open. Yeah,
I always love stories about the government interfering in big pop culture movies.
Yeah, I know.
Like, are you familiar with? There's a documentary called Room 237 that's about The Shining.
I've seen it.
And it starts with like this is about like people who have theories about The Shining and how The Shining might be a crazy like movie that means all these different things. And then the documentary slowly becomes about all these people's crazy conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
And one of them is it being a cover. It's about Stanley Kubrick venting his frustrations about filming the moon landing.
I've seen that with the Apollo jumper and stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is just, those things, what I love about theories like that is they would have to be so airtight.
Oh, yeah.
So no leaks, no nothing, that it makes it almost too amazing. Like, it's not even that I don't trust the government, is I don't trust people to keep their mouths shut.
I was going to say, I don't trust human beings. Yeah, that's the problem. Exactly. You know, you're always going to get one guy down at the local bar. Dudes, you want to see what I'm working on. You know, slip a few tequilas in there and kind of, yeah, people will start talking.
Who would brag about that? I would be that guy. I'll be honest with you.
I would definitely
be the first one.
Yeah, 100%. I would definitely be the guy that has those little men in black guys knock at the door and say, yeah, you need to come with us. But like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I would do that on purpose just to see if it really existed. I'd be like, come on, dude, fucking come get me.
Yep. It's like, oh shit, all right, fair enough.
Travis Walton the shit out of me.
Oh man.
And then you realize you don't want none of it. But
so I mean, how has that been going for you, finding UFO podcasts to kind of scare yourself to sleep? I love that idea.
It's, you know, it's, I find out of all, like, I've never been, unlike yourself, I've always been a very open-minded skeptic. I'd like to call myself an open-minded skeptic, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But I think with the world of kind of UFOs and stuff like that, it's so vague and it's so, like, not everybody can be lying, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
You know, whereas, you know, I can look at a crazy flat earth person and say, right, you, sir, are fucking a lunatic, you know?
Yes.
Or, you know, Loch Ness monsters and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's all fun and stuff like that. Whereas I think UFOs are the one kind of, there's no pun intended, but there's shades of gray in there. It's not all black and white.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's cool listening to some stories, and then you hear some stories and it's just like, oh good lord. I mean, yeah. I got impregnated by an alien and I've given birth to 25 space people. You're going like,
may I just, not to throw more compliments, fantastic Southern accent. Have you been down to Southern United?
You know what? I've got a lot of Southern friends, so I feel like I've kind of earned. I feel like I've kind of earned the right to kind of make it a little bit of fun. So,
sure.
You know, I know it's not everybody from the South. Listen, we've got our own.
No. It's just most.
It tends to be like a little town called, you know, I don't know, Allentown, with a population of 15.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they're all probably related, so we're moving right along. But it's they're the guys out there that don't believe in COVID-19 at the moment.
Oh, brother. Oh, my God.
I've seen some news from the States. And like I said, I've got a lot of friends in the States, especially around the Louisiana area. And they're all pretty fucking normal people down in New Orleans. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
They really are.
My sister-in-law lives down there, and it's not like it's. She's incredibly intelligent and is a normal person.
Yeah.
And you just all you have to do is just go like three blocks to your left, and all of a sudden it's somebody attempting to hit a nurse with a truck. Like it's just not. It's insane, man. It's so weird.
It's kind
of all that shit is so embarrassing.
I mean, look, we have it everywhere. We've got some strange places here in Ireland too. So it's I guess one of the horror is a great theme actually, just purely because, I only said this on a podcast recently. I recently subscribed to Shudder, the Shudder app.
Oh, nice!
And there's some incredible. Almost C and D list movies that are made by, but just really artistic people. And it's an amazing, like there's a movie, low budget Canadian movie called The Summer of 84. I don't know whether you've seen it or heard of it.
Mm-mm, I haven't actually.
It's on Shudder TV. Well worth checking out.
Okay.
Very much in the vein. It's more of a thriller, but it's very much in the vein of Stranger Things in the sense that the soundtrack, you know, it's this bunch of kids. It's a summer, you know, it's a real boring summer. Teenagers are going missing and they think it's the local cop that lives next door. So they're trying to, you know, they're trying to go on adventure to see if they can uncover it. And it's really, really good.
That's awesome.
Hell House. Have you seen Hell House?
Hell House I have. Hell House LLC. Is that what it is?
Hell House 1, 2, and 3. It's actually a trilogy.
I think I'm thinking of something else.
It's kind of it's like a found footage type deal.
Oh yes, yeah. I did see the first one of those. Yeah, man.
Pretty good. In fairness,
yeah.
Good attempt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's what I love is you can often find, especially with the horror genre, and this doesn't work for all genres, but when you have people that are trying to put a part of themselves in a movie. A lot of times that can at least give you something to cling on to.
Sure.
And I feel like that happens a lot with horror, whereas people are kind of opening up their heads to you a little bit more.
Sure.
Instead of necessarily like analyzing just the vague human spirit, they're like, no, this is what like my human spirit is like. This is what I think or feel or fear. And it can be a great, and I'm not always the biggest fan of this, but when it works well, when people have these kind of filmmakers, especially have these very therapeutic moments when they make a movie, like it's helping them work out something else. And then it also has a monster in it. Like, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like
yeah.
it's always, there's elements of that are always so much fun. Like I was thinking earlier, cause obviously with like any kind of horror movie, you want some kind of like good hook.
Sure.
Like what's going on here? Like what monster you have, what do they represent? Things like that. But behind that, you want to have what the story is about. And sometimes that is hidden so deep that you have to go searching. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. Like I was thinking specifically about, the first Nightmare on Elm Street. Because I was like, oh, you know, Nancy's just like a regular girl, and like the people in there are dealing with these kind of regular things. But when you really look at it, it's like, oh, this is about like taking in the sins of your parents, like dealing with generational stuff. And like if you look at it with that through line, it's just like those are where some of the best horror movies come from. And I feel like because it's kind of hidden behind a man with claw hands, like it goes into your dreams. It's almost like getting it. It's like putting a dog medicine in a cup of pudding.
yeah.
Don't give your dogs pudding. I don't know why.
That's one way to look at it. Yeah, it's actually because I kind of agree because one of my favorite directors of all time would be especially early work of John Carpenter because,
sure.
You know, yep. You look at movies, you know, everyone knows Halloween, but if you look at movies like The Fog, it deals with, you know, with greed, I guess, is the underlying message in that one. Then
sure.
Even They Live with Roddy Piper, I mean, that's...
Ooh, consumerism, baby.
Dude, a message that still holds true today. What a
yep.
You know, some great.
What I love about that one too is you can tell when it's kind of, because it is about consumerism, but it's one of those movies too where I feel like speaking of conspiracy theorists, they've kind of like grabbed onto that,
yeah,
in a way that they don't realize that it's kind of making fun of them a little bit too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just it's like how super libertarian people will love Rorschach from, sure, Watchmen, when it's just like, no, Rorschach is like making fun of Ayn Rand. Dude.
Yeah,
like, that's the whole point. But the satire is like so good and so smart that the people that it's satirizing don't get it. And Carpenter is just a master of that kind of stuff.
Very, very, for sure. What would be some of your, I guess, quarantining now? What's some of the stuff that you like to do at the moment? Are you sitting? Are you doing much writing? Are you kind of?
I am. I wrote a spec script for one of my favorite TV shows. Like, for those who might not be familiar, like, a spec script is basically where you write something like an episode of a show that exists. At least this kind of spec script. It's basically something you're not getting paid to write, but you write it to show, like, oh, if I was in a writer's room, I could write in the style of this show. So I did one for the show What We Do in the Shadows, which, if you haven't, love that show.
Yeah, yeah.
So good, so much fun. So I wrote a spec script for that. I wrote the Star Wars, the New Hope, Shakespearean version. And then I'm actually working on now there's this other podcast that I was able to be a part of that was super fun called Buried Stereo. If anybody gets a chance, it's basically, if you like old timey radio or if you just like fun, like kind of silly comedy stuff, it's a spoof on old timey radio shows.
I love that.
So I'm going to be helping them out with their second series. Super fun working out. We recorded all of them live at a comedy club in Queens here in New York. A lot of fun. So I've been diving into that, and now I'm starting to, because I'm starting to exhaust some of my resources.
Yeah.
I've been working on, I'm going to do a Dungeons & Dragons campaign that I'm going to do over Zoom with some friends of mine and force my poor wife to take part in. My poor, very patient wife.
Listen, with people like us, the woman in the life does have to be patient at times. It's, you know... I think sometimes they think you're saying that you're doing a podcast just to get away.
Don't say that so loud, man.
I know. She doesn't listen to mine. It's okay.
same, brother. She's like, I hear you every day. Why do I need to listen to your podcast? Yeah. And I'm like, fair.
I'm like, can you at least give me a download?
But one of the fun things that we've been doing is we'll try to, around like 8 p.m. our time every night, we'll try to like have dinner, which is like late, but our clock is all messed up at this point. And we'll just try to watch a movie, and it'll be just the other person. Like, each night we alternate who picks the movie.
Oh.
Like, no questions asked.
Nice.
No debate. We just pop something on and we watch it. So that's been a lot of fun. We watched a lot of stuff. Speaking of which, we watched a movie which I highly recommend. I think it's on Amazon Prime, called Body Bags.
I'm writing these down, trust me.
Please do. Yep. it's called Body Bags, and it was John Carpenter's attempt to do a Tales from the Crypt type show. Ooh. In the early 90s for Showtime, and then halfway through, Showtime was just like, "Yeah, we're not going to do this as a show, but like finish it and we'll just make it like an anthology movie." So it's like a little anthology movie. That's super fun and crazy, and like John Carpenter directs one. I forget the second director, but Tobe Hooper is the third one.
Nice.
And they've got all kinds of horror directors making cameos, and John Carpenter plays the narrator, like crypt keeper type person, which is like, he works in a morgue. He's like this dead looking guy that works in a morgue. Super fun, super crazy. Like, if you like Tales from the Crypt, you'll have a blast.
Yeah,
like
I'm already sold 100%.
Yeah, man. So much fun. The and old, so 90s, like so 1993.
Oh, dude, the old ones are the best. Like, I mean, I went back and watched like Night of the Demons. I watched
Night of the Demons.
You know, it's such it's such a shit movie, but like it's great. You know,
brother, same page. I love that movie. I actually remember because on my podcast, every October we'll throw the purpose of the podcast out the door and we'll just talk about horror movies. I call it Shocktober. Like, so we just got done a bunch of horror movie reviews over the years. And one year I talked about that movie with Ryan, actually. We talked about that. And I don't know if you know this, but they made a remake in like 2010 of Night of the Demons.
Oh, they did.
Yes.
Okay.
If you like the first one, like you said, it's bad. It falls in that so bad it's good category. Like, it's just fun to watch because it's just such a shit show.
Yeah.
But then they do a remake and they just took themselves like a little too seriously.
Yeah.
And it suffers greatly for it. Remake, I would not recommend.
I watched a movie as well. Oh, good Lord, because I love my 80s movies, you know what I mean?
Same. Oh, absolutely.
I went back and watched one, and I can't remember what it was, but they were basically the town kind of had a bad history, and these kids are basically in school, and some of their ancestors died, but basically under the school, they still have all the costumes of the, you know, the ancestors, and they take them out for Halloween. What was it called? Something High.
Oh, man.
Something High. Something School High. What is the name?
I don't know, but I'm on board.
Holy shit. I can't remember. This is going to wreck my head because I've been talking about this to everybody and I can't remember it now. I'm on the spot.
Oh, no.
I'll get it over to you either way. I'll get it
please,
on to you for sure.
Do. I love that period of time aesthetically, but also like, and I've talked about this with a friend of mine before. There was like, I was born in 89, so I barely missed the end of the decade. But then as I'm growing up in the 90s, the movies on like Saturday afternoon and like Sunday afternoon and like morning and stuff, all the cheap, like schlocky stuff that would just be on TV, like random cable stations, was all stuff from the 80s. Like anything that I got to watch during the day on TV, movie wise, was all from that time period. So I have such a nostalgia for it.
Yeah,
like
same.
It's so comforting and I'll get so engrossed.
Yeah.
Oh man, if something takes place in a shopping mall, I'm fucking in.
Oh, like, shopping mall. Hell yeah.
Shopping mall. Ugh.
It's I think the key word that you use there, it's nostalgia. And I think
yes. You
do get to a certain age and you do take certain comfort in taking yourself back to a time when you, like, for example, The Fog is one of my favorites purely because I remember I watched that with my grandmother. I used to stay with her every weekend, just myself and herself. And I remember Friday night there would be a horror movie on around 9 p.m. and The Fog came on. And I remember vividly about halfway through, of course she's old, she's going, oh, I'm going to bed, you stay up and watch the rest, dude. I was so close to staying on the couch that night because the town that I'm from, a little town in Ireland called Bray, it's literally a seaside town exactly like that. So I was like, holy shit. So anytime I used to see Fog, I was like, nah.
Nope. No, thank you. Oh. Yeah, man. How old would you say you were when you remember seeing your first horror movie? Or like, you know, in vague, or like, you know, best guess.
I would say probably about 4 or 5. And I would think, I'm thinking it was, I suppose actually when I really think about it, before the Draculas and the, you know, the Frankensteins, because they scared the shit out of me too, because I was, you know, 6 or 7.
Yeah.
I mean, the first one that legitimately scared me to the point that I couldn't sleep with the curtains open all through my childhood was Salem's Lot because of the kid scratching at the window.
Oh, yeah. You know?
But the first actual movie that scared me that I saw as a kid that I can remember, and in a lot of ways is horror, is Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Yo, say yes, absolutely.
It's crazy.
Yes. it's a crazy movie. B and C, I would think, because that was one of my mom's favorite movies.
Yeah.
And I would just be like, why are we watching this? Yeah. Like, it's so strange. It was that and what's the other one where she's like an abusive mother?
Oh, yes. Is it called The Nurse? No, not The Nurse. No.
Oh, I can't remember. But that would be another one.
I know the
Mommy
one.
Dearest.
That's Mommy Dearest, yeah.
Mommy Dearest. I would be like, Mom, why are you showing this?
Yeah, like, this isn't cool.
Like, are you trying to tell me something?
Yeah. Because these are things, like, that woman looked like she was a psychopath. This wasn't a vampire. This was a legitimate batshit crazy woman.
And those were movies, too. Like, especially the horror movies of that time. So much of it, and I'm not like a bit like, listen, a well-crafted movie is a well-crafted movie.
Sure.
No matter what you do or show. I'm open to any, like, if you can do something that's going to engross me, no matter what you're showing me or not showing me, awesome. But those were at a time for either budgetary or just like restrictional reasons. There were a lot of things they couldn't show you. So when you're little and you're looking at something that's making you use your imagination as much as possible, and your imagination is like up to here at that point,
yeah.
it leaves an impression on you. Because it's something you kind of created in your own head a lot of times.
That's it. And I mean, a lot of those old black and white ones, I mean, one of my favorites of all time, The Spiral Staircase.
Oh, again. Yeah.
Anything in that kind of Hitchcock vein, you know what I mean? The thriller was just crazy. And I think people in their 20s now, like, in, you know, early 20s, I don't think they can actually go back and appreciate those kind of movies because they didn't necessarily grow up with it. You know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely.
They find it hokey. Even kids nowadays would find that hokey because, you know, what's extreme anymore? You know what I mean? It's
good. Yeah. There has to be like a willingness to want to see that stuff. And if there's not, you're just not going to have, it's like we said, you're not going to have the same nostalgia for it. You're not going to care as much because it's not from a time that you're particularly precious about.
And I also think the psychological thriller has kind of died in the last 20 years as well, to be honest with you. I've not seen any.
I would agree with that.
You know, I don't think, I mean, it's the creative writing, the suspense. I mean, a lot of these directors like Hitchcock were fucking crazy themselves, you know what I mean? So,
oh yeah, oh yeah.
You know, the suspense. I mean, I remember talking to, you know the band Pantera, right?
Yeah.
Phil Anselmo's been on this show before a couple of times.
That's amazing.
Yeah, a couple of times.
Good shit, man.
That's why I said we had friends down south, so I didn't want to offend my southern friends, you know what I mean? But I wasn't aiming that at New Orleans. It was let's say Alabama.
Oh, no, we know what we're talking about.
Let's say Alabama.
Yeah, we'll say Alabama, exactly. Yeah, no. Or even to a lesser extent, you're Mississippi.
Let's shout out to Mississippi and Alabama. Actually, just speaking of which, I'm watching on Netflix right now that new show, The Innocent Show, talking about people going to jail for... that were imprisoned wrongfully.
Oh man, I've wanted to watch that, and I've hit such a point where, like, I can't even, like I said, my wife and I have been watching a movie a night, but we've even shied away from doing things that are like either intentionally or unintentionally. We've not picked movies that are going to be too emotionally draining.
Yeah,
and I think that's why. Like, for like, speaking of Netflix shows, like, I've seen people take shots at Tiger King, and I get it. It's ridiculous. But I think that one of the reasons that it's hit so hard is because it's real life escapism. Like,
that's
it is something that you can just separate yourself from. It's awful. It's terrible.
But it makes you feel better about yourself, that you're actually
exactly.
a decent human being compared to some of these. Yeah,
exactly. Whereas if I'm watching a show that's about people going to prison who don't deserve to go to prison, I'm just going to feel awful.
Oh, dude, I was pretty mostly drunk. I had a couple of beers on Friday and I was like, oh, the older I'm getting, I feel like Robert De Niro and Analyze This. You know, you get emotional watching like a sad advert about a horse.
Oh, dude. Preaching to the choir, man.
I'm like, why am I such a pussy nowadays? If I was, you could.
Oh, it's so strange, and it's something where it's, hey, that just means you're a good dude.
Maybe.
But it's true. There's a sense of empathy, and it's something that, like, We live in a world where we don't see a lot of that. That's all there is.
And that's
like, we just don't.
That's it. You know, I mean, I found myself during quarantine, one of the things that I found a love for again is computer games, like games.
Oh, sure.
And I was never a crazy gamer, you know, but when I was a kid, you remember Final Fantasy VII?
Oh, absolutely.
The remake is just after arriving, and I find myself, I'm like, okay, it's 9 p.m., next of all, I look at my watch. Holy shit, it's 3 a.m. Again, nostalgia. People got to do... What I kind of recommend to people as well is to not get lost in one thing, though. Because, you know, there's 20...
Right.
As you mentioned to me earlier, actually, time has gone out the window in this moment. Days and time are gone. I found for the first few weeks, sitting around, feeling sorry for myself, feeling cranky, not doing much, soon as I start working out again and just doing a little bits and pieces, you actually enjoy, as you said, sitting down on the Friday to watch the movie. You enjoy...
Exactly.
Enjoy, like, designate your beers to, like, one or two nights a week, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, man.
You know, little things like that can help. We're getting too serious now, anyway. We need to be... We need,
oh, yeah.
Need to...
No, because Final Fantasy VII, I've actually been playing a lot of WWE 2K19 in this time. Because I have played wrestling games for as long as there have been wrestling games, and that's like one where, and it's definitely like a nostalgic button where I'm like, oh, I have the time. So like, they have, and this one has one of the best versions of it that I've ever played. You can do like a universe mode where I'm basically like running the show. So I've got all the storylines going. I got, like, all the different belts. The Undisputed belt is the main belt in this universe.
Who's your champion? Like, who's your champion right now?
Right now, it is Randy Orton.
Oh, my man. Yeah, I like it.
Yep, I love Randy Orton. He took it from Bray Wyatt, who I had as champ for a while.
Okay.
But now I just started a new an NWO, because I love creating an NWO whenever I do this.
That's got
Shinsuke Nakamura. Shelton Benjamin, because I feel like he never gets enough love.
Sure.
As the tag team in there, I have Drew McIntyre and Finn Balor. And then kind of leading it all, I have John Cena, because I'm that kind of sadist.
Hey, John Cena's the man. John Cena doesn't get enough love either. Yeah.
Oh, no, I agree. But I mean sadist in the fact that, like, I feel like it's too late at this time point, but if there's anybody that I would just love to see take a heel turn, especially one with like the NWO, it's John Cena. It would just be like almost impossible at this point.
Yeah.
But he's put it bluntly, he's coming for Randy Orton's belt pretty soon. WrestleMania just ended. I don't need to get bogged down in the details.
Is there any old school wrestlers still in your company?
Absolutely. We've got Shawn Michaels is in there, the 2005 era Shawn Michaels. Sting is in there. Him and Randy Orton just had a huge feud.
I love Sting.
Love Sting. Kurt Angle's running around in there. Who else did I have? Austin's in there, of course.
Yeah.
Ric Flair and Ultimate Warrior. Oh, Vader, Bam Bam Bigelow, and Psycho Sid are like all jockeying for the hardcore belt.
Oh,
it's yeah. It's a nice even mix, because you gotta have those guys in there.
You do.
That's the only bummer is I'm a big Mick Foley fan. He's probably one of my favorites ever, and he's not in the game.
And you're not got there's no Hogan or Bret Hart or any of these guys in there?
Hogan's not in the game. Bret Hart I do have in there. And him and Jim Neidhart just started a feud. And what I love about this game is it just happened. Like, I didn't even do it. It was just something that happened organically in the game.
Yeah, maybe Jim treated his sister wrong or something, and he went, you know what?
Yeah, probably.
You son of a bitch. That sounds like fun. I haven't played a wrestling game in so long. It's crazy, and it's funny because they have, I think on the PlayStation Network now, it's like everything's so cheap now. That's the thing, and it's awesome to see companies like Sony do that for people. You know what I mean? Bring them. And I've seen the 2K20 is actually on there for like 20 euros, so like equivalent of like $18. So
right, maybe, I would. would be hesitant towards that one, only because I've heard, so it's, I heard that one wasn't very good, and then it apparently it was so bad that there might not be a WWE 2K game this year.
Oh, I heard something about this, I heard so. So maybe I gotta go and get my ass, do you know what, while I'm talking to you, I'm gonna see if 2K19 is on here, because that's...
And I have a lot of fun with that one, honestly. Like, I think there's a lot of good stuff in there. And the universe mode is my favorite part, because it's like a big time suck, too.
Yeah, of course, dude.
So if I can, like, get even more in-depth and, like, make little rivalries. Oh, DDP I have in there. He's my European champion.
DDP is in there spinning the yoga. Yeah.
Yeah, makes... Oh, dude, what a story for a wrestler to just be the kind of, like, health... and self-help guru that he is now.
Oh,
like, that stuff warms my heart. The fact that he, like, kept Jake the Snake from dying, essentially, is, like, one of my favorite stories in the business.
It's crazy. It's crazy, dude. Mm-hmm. That he is a real life saint, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He really is.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is crazy. We're gonna have to call out Sony on this, man. So WWE 2K19 is 69 bucks to all our American fans, €99 for the deluxe edition, and WWE
what the hell?
And 2K20 is 19.
Yep, no thank you.
And the deluxe edition. So maybe that's why you're telling me. Yeah, they know that the 19 is better. So.
Yep. Yeah.
No.
WWE. Oh, that's crazy.
You're not getting my money. No.
No, man.
I live vicariously through your wrestling world at the moment.
There we go. Yeah, I'll send you some updates. But yeah, I've been doing the same. I also dove back into games, and it's the same kind of thing where, like, I'll usually start playing after my wife and I watch a movie, and then next thing I know, it's 3 o'clock, and I am not tired.
Yeah.
But it's about keeping those routines. Like, it's like you said, I'll do the same thing where I'm like, well, if I don't go to bed at a somewhat reasonable hour, I won't be awake enough to work out the next day. Or if I do, it won't be until later. Like, it's just about doing those same kind of things. We watch Jeopardy most every night just to, like, just to keep some kind of, like, normalcy.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. And you know what? Just thinking, maybe all of these crazy abductees that we were talking about, maybe they're gamers. And they've just lost time playing games. It's possible. They're on autopilot. Mm-hmm. And it's a game world that they're living in. That's why all these stories to be kind of, you know. So I think we cracked it.
I think you're onto something, man. Hit up Buzz, give BuzzFeed a call.
I'm onto something or else on something, one or the other. It's I'm on the old Bulldog energy drink here because it's now 23 in the PM. 23:39 in the PM. So
thank you for doing this so late, by the way.
Sorry, dude,
that was a miscommunication on my end.
No, it's my pleasure. I mean, I interview so many American guys and gals, and a lot of them would be old time wrestlers. So whenever they make, you know, whenever they can you know, give me their time, I kind of have to work around that. So I'm used to I'm used to doing it, and I'm a night guy anyway. I'm a vampire.
Yeah, same.
I'm a vampire. I don't really do morning. I'm not a big fan, so I like doing this. And it's pretty cool because we definitely, as we kind of wind down now, we're definitely going to do this again.
I'd love to.
It'd be pretty cool to kind of get, you know, Ryan involved with us as well and try and get something cool going and the three of us do some shit. Or whoever you feel that would be good. And because a lot of these podcasts I'm knocking out now are just spontaneous also. You know what I mean?
And you're consistent too, which is nice. By the way, congrats on almost being at 100 episodes. That's no small feat.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Of course. Like, that's awesome. It's hard. That's a lot of hours of content.
Well, there's a, if you want to write this down, because you've given me so much movie and TV, you know, recommendations, I'll also give you,
write it on my iPad.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give you another one. It's called The Four Podmen. So The Four Podmen. F-O-U-R.
F-O-U-R. Four Podmen. Okay.
P-O-D-M-E-N. Yeah. That's only into its third episode. It's actually a show that myself and three other people put together. The concept behind it was, because this had been running around my brain for a long time. Some of my listeners here might not even know about it yet, but it's doing really well so far, touch wood. So three episodes in, I had this idea that we would do a show on a topic, but it's only a monthly show, so it's once every month. But the topic, we give people two choices, and we let them vote through various social media means. We'll give them two choices. So the first episode was actually based on Hulk Hogan. And I always asked this question, Hulk Hogan, babyface or heel? Which was better? Because if you think about it, it's so you can have a think about that over there. But check it out. And then the second one was the Intercontinental title. We went through the list of champions, good and bad.
Okay.
And then the latest one that we've done this month is the Monday Night Wars. So so again, it's great that it gets people involved, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. That's a great way to build an audience, man. It's all about trying to create that connection.
Yeah. I think update actually. Yeah, we had Eddie Guerrero. A choice for this month was Eddie Guerrero and Kurt Angle, and Kurt Angle won it. Ooh. Kurt Angle literally won by 2%.
Ooh, I was about to say, cuz that's a tough one. I loved both of those guys in their prime. Like, that was, oh, and I mean, talk about, even just between the two of them, they had great matches, like, against each other.
Crazy good. I think next month's episode might just have to be Eddie, because there's going to be 48% of people out there that wanted to hear about Eddie. So
Eddie deserves some love. I recently watched, I don't, have you watched the show Dark Side of the Ring at all?
Yeah, I've watched them all. Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoy that show.
Very tough to watch as well, though.
Oh, brother, like, that was the thing. As I started, first I thought it was just going to be like there was just a documentary about Chris Benoit out. That's what I kept hearing. Yeah. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, this is a whole show. So I started from the beginning. But by the time I got to the Chris Benoit episode, what I did not expect was for them to, A, go so in-depth about Eddie Guerrero,
mm-hmm.
and their relationship, and B, how much that was going to hit me so hard.
Yeah.
Like, I remember specifically when he died the next night, they did the memoriam on Raw, and I just had to... I made an excuse. I took my dog outside to use the bathroom, and I just wept. Like, I was I was devastated.
Yeah, me too. I think that one, along with Owen Hart, kind of hit people the most, you know what I mean?
Yeah, dude. Man.
Just the circumstances were pretty bad. But look, I guess on a happier note, to kind of finish up, is congratulations on your show and the success that you're having also.
Thank you very much.
B, I'd like to thank you for taking the time and coming on the show as well. It's been great.
Genuine pleasure.
And we're definitely going to do this again soon, for sure.
Yes.
For sure.
I would love that.
Listen, as I said, you keep me updated. Now that I've got a horror buddy, especially, I'm going to be checking these shows out that you've recommended me. And it's going to get me through the next couple of nights once I finish my game.
It goes so quick.
It does. It does. They grow so fast. They grow so fast. Yeah. Well, listen.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you very much. Keep crushing it. Just, like, you know, and sincerely, thank you for asking me to be on.
And you too.
You're a good dude, and you're a great host.
Andrew Sansford, pleasure was all mine. Until next time, it's Dynamo over and out.